إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، I welcome my dear sisters in Islam in this class, which is for them, Alhamdulillah, here at Masjid al-Tawheed. And we're still reading from the first chapter of Riyad al-Salihin, the explanation of our beloved Shaykh, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, رحمه الله تعالى في باب الإخلاص وتصحيح النية. This is the chapter of sincerity, and that a person have to have good intentions, and that a person should have a sincerity and purify their intentions when they do actions of worship. قال عن أبي عبد الله جابر بن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنهما قال كنا مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في غزاة، أي في غزوة، فقال إن بالمدينة لرجالا ما سرتم مسيرا ولا قطعتم واديا إلا كانوا معكم حبسهم المرض، وفي رواية إلا شركوكم في الأجر، رواه مسلم. ورواه البخاري عن أنس رضي الله عنه قال رجعنا من غزوة تبوك مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال إن أقواما خلفنا بالمدينة ما سلكنا شعبا ولا واديا إلا وهم معنا حبسهم العذر. In this hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari رضي الله عنه, he reported, we accompanied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in an expedition when he said, there are some men in al-Madina who are with you wherever you march and whichever valley you cross. They have not joined you in person because of their illness. In another version he says, they share the reward with you, as in Sahih Muslim. In Sahih al-Bukhari from Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, who says, we were coming back from the battle of Tabuk with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he remarked, there are people whom we left behind in al-Madinah who accompanied us in spirit in every pass and valley we crossed. They remained behind for a valid excuse. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, the meaning of this hadith, that when a person have a good intention to perform a righteous action, but however, he has a valid excuse why that person did not perform that righteous action, he will be rewarded according to his intention, even though he didn't do the action. He will be rewarded according to that good and sincere intention, even if the person does not do the action. The Shaykh says, as for if a person used to do an action and he was consistent with it, when he was able to do this action, he used to do it. He used to perform those actions of worship. However, that person could not perform those actions now. He had a valid reason, then he will still be rewarded as though he acted upon them. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another hadith, as collected by Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah, إِذَا مَرِضَ الْعَبْدُ أو سافر كتب له ما كان يعمل صحيحا مقيما. If a slave of Allah is sick, if he gets sick, or if while traveling, Allah still rate for them and reward them for the thing that they used to do when they're healthy and when they are not traveling. Allah. If a person is consistent, the Sheikh is going to give some examples later on. If a person is consistent, doing some things, but then that person gets sick, cannot do these things anymore. Like fasting Mondays and Thursdays, for example, or performing the sunnah and the like. Or this person, he traveled. While traveling, he couldn't do those actions of worship. Then Allah will reward that person and write for him the same actions that he used and she used to perform while he or she were healthy and in their hometown. The Sheikh says, as for the one who loves to do good, and he's diligent to do good, and it becomes his habit to do those actions of good. It's a habit for him. Constantly doing it with consistency by doing those actions of worship. But there is a valid reason why that person cannot do those things. Still, he will have a full reward for those actions. The Sheikh said, فَمَثَلًا, here is an example. If a person does his habit, he always pray in the congregation, in the masjid. That's what's in his heart. I gotta pray in the jama'ah. That's what is in his mind. I gotta go pray. Not in the house. I gotta pray in the jama'ah. And consistent with that. But sometime he oversleep or he got sick and cannot go and perform the salat or the like of these valid reasons, Allah still will give him the same reward as though he prayed in a congregation without any decrease from that reward. Because this person, it's his habit. He has good intention. I gotta pray in the masjid. But now he's sick, he cannot come. Or something keep him away from coming, a valid reason. Then that person get the same reward. Allah give him the reward. Because if he wasn't sick, he will be in a masjid praying with the congregation. The Sheikh said this is only an example. Likewise, he says another example, somebody who consistent in praying the nawafil prayer, the optional prayers. But however, likewise, something happened to that person, sickness, illness, something, and he cannot perform those optional prayers, he will be rewarded in full for those optional prayers. The Sheikh said many are the examples. There's only a couple examples. He said, but now keep in mind, if a person, it was not his habit, okay? Somebody has good intention to do an action, but it's not his, he doesn't have the habit to perform the action consistently. But he wants to perform it, but then something happened, and he couldn't do it. He will be rewarded for the intention, not for the action. Okay? He will be given a good reward according to his intention, but he would not be given the reward of the action because he was not consistent. I hope this is understood. So the person who does the things all time, he gets the reward of intentions, good intentions, and for the actions. But if a person is not consistent with that action, okay, but one day he has a good intention to perform it, but something happened, and he couldn't do it, he still get rewarded for having a good intention, but not for the action itself, because he's a person that was not consistent in doing it. The Sheikh says the proof is that fuqara as-sahaba radiallahu anhum. Here is the proof. He mentioned from one of the proofs is the poor amongst the companions. The companions, they were poor amongst them. They say to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Rasulullah, sabaqana ahlu al-duthuri bil ujur wal na'im al-muqim." يعني إن أهل الأموال سبقوهم بالصدق بالصدقة والعتق. The poor amongst the companions, they came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "O Messenger of Allah, the rich people, they passed us. They passed us in doing good deeds." The Shaykh Iminin, they spend their money in charity and freeing the slave and the like, and we don't have nothing to spend. It's like they saying, we pray and they pray, we fast, they fast. Okay, but hey, they spend and we can't spend, we have nothing to spend. So they passed us. The Prophet ﷺ said to them, "Ala ukhbirukum bi shay'in idha fa'altumuhu adraktum man sabaqakum wa lam yudrikkum ahadun illa man amila mitla ma amiltum." Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, "Shall I not inform you of something? If you does it, you will catch up with those who passed you. And no one will catch up with you except someone who does what you're doing." And of course, because he spent his money, you know. فَقَالَ تُسَبِّحُونَ وَتُكَبِّرُونَ وَتَحْمَدُونَ دُبُرَ كُلِّ صَلَاتٍ ثَلَاثٍ وَثَلَاثٍ. So this is what you do. Okay, this, you say Subhanallah 33 times. Allahu Akbar 33, Alhamdulillah 33 times after every salat. فَفَعَلُوا. So the poor companions, they began to do that. فَعَلِمَ الْأَغْنِيَاءِ. But the rich people now, they get the news and they become to do it again. Okay? So the poor among the companions, they were doing it, Alhamdulillah, we got something now, okay? They got the money, we got this, all right? But when the rich people, they know about this, they're like, hey, that's for all of us, Alhamdulillah. They start doing it too. فَجَاءَ الْفُقَرَاءُ إِلَى رَسُولَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. So the poor people, they came back to the Messenger of Allah, صلى الله عليه وسلم, and they say, "Ya Rasul Allah, O Messenger of Allah, سَمِعَ إِخْوَانُنَا أَهْلُ الْأَمْوَالِ بِمَا فَعَلْنَا فَعَلُوا مِثْلَهُ." They say, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, our brothers, the rich, they know what we're doing and they're doing it too. And they are doing it." What the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to them? You think the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is going to say to the rich, "No, don't say, don't remember Allah"? No. He said to them, "ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ." That's the bounty of Allah, He give it to whom He will. Hey. Okay, they have money, don't have it. Hey. That's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. وَلَمْ يَقُلْ لَهُمْ إِنَّكُمْ قَدْ أَدْرَكْتُمْ أَجْرَ عَمَلِهِمْ لَكِنْ لَا شَكَّ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرَ نِيَّةِ الْعَمَلِ. He didn't tell them, "Now listen, yes, they spend on this money, and you get the same thing." He says, "No, but still," the Shaykh says, "they will get the good intention, the reward for a good intention if they have a good intention. If they have a good intention, they will be rewarded for that." For this reason, the Shaykh, he mentioned this statement that the Prophet ﷺ has informed us about a man that Allah has given him wealth. And that person is spending that wealth in all venues of good, fi subulil khair, all venues of good. Allah gave this person a lot of money, He make him wealthy, rich person. That person is spending that money in venues of good, maintaining the masjid, the house of Allah, maybe building houses of Allah, for Allah, the masajid, maybe taking care of orphans and widows, poor people, people in debt, somebody in debt cannot pay it, he pay it on him. People are struggling with any type, he helps them. He may go to the hospital and pay the bills and the medication of certain people. This is a person doing a lot of good. He's buying books of the deen and this and give him away, sponsoring students of knowledge or two, sending somebody for hajj. Anyway, this person is doing a lot of good with that wealth that Allah has given him. Being nice to his parents, to his family, to his community, to his family. And here is a poor person. Okay? There is a poor person that he knows and he lives in that area, and he used to say, if I have the same wealth of such and so, so and so, I will do the same thing. I will me too pay the bills for certain people, take care of the orphans and the widows, pay the debts of others, and do this, and I will do the same thing if Allah gave me his wealth, the like of his wealth. So here is a person, he really have money and he's spending it. Alright? Here is another person, doesn't have any. What does he have? Good intention. That's all he has. This man has no money. He just have a good intention. And he said, if Allah give me what that person has, I will do the same thing too. The what the Prophet ﷺ says, فَهُوَ بِنِيَّتِهِ فَهُمَا فِي الْأَجْرِ سَوَاءٍ. The Prophet ﷺ says, according to his intention, they will have the same reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't spend a dime. Allahu Akbar. The Shaykh says, what do you mean the reward? He says, fi niyya. So this is something that we benefit here. What do you mean they will be rewarded the same reward? According to the intentions. As for the reward for the action, no. This poor person won't get the reward for the action. The only way he will get the reward for the action beside the reward of the intention, when? If he used to do the action consistently. Huh? If he used to spend too and take care and spend money, and then something happened to him, now he can't spend anything, he lost all his business, and he's like, if Allah restore my things again, I will continue, he will get rewarded. But in this case, since he didn't act upon those things, he didn't spend no money, because he's poor, and having a good intention, he will be rewarded in the same way as the other person, according to the intention, not according to the action. Okay? The Shaykh also, he said in this hadith that we have with us, Hadith of Jabir, that whoever set out for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for jihad, he will be rewarded according to his steps. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا سِرْتُمْ مَسِيرًا وَلَا قَطَعْتُمْ وَادِينَ وَلَا شِعْبًا إِلَّا وَهُمْ مَعَكُمْ. Whenever you walk any path or cross any valley and the like, except that they are with you. The like of this example also, I said, a man make wudu in his house and perform the wudu correctly, and then he goes to the masjid. The only thing that he's leaving his house to pray. So this person with this good intention and making good wudu and this, whenever he step, except that Allah raise him with that step, a level, and take away from him in an evil deed. Okay? The Shaykh said this is from the virtue of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from the bounties of Allah that he gives to whom he wills. That a person, this is khair azim. Person didn't do the action but still get rewarded because of his good intention. Do you know anybody that does that from the human being? You don't go to work but just get a good intention, they still send you a paycheck. Yeah, right. You got to go to work and you still have to sometimes beg for a paycheck. Allah al-Musta'an. You do the work for certain people, but they still, oh, come tomorrow, come next week, oh, I give you some. And this, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Lakin Allah al-Muwaffiq, the Shaykh says, but success is from Allah. And may Allah make us from those who are successful, ameen. The other hadith عن أبي يزيد معن ابن يزيد بن الأخنس رضي الله عنهم وهو وأبوه وجده صحابيون قال كان أبي يزيد أخرج دنانير يتصدق بها فوضعها عند رجل في المسجد فجئت فأخذتها فأتيته بها فقال والله ما إياك أردت فخاصمته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال لك ما نويت يا يزيد ولك ما أخذت يا معنو رواه البخاري. معن ابن يزيد ابن الأخنس رضي الله عنهم because him, his father and grandfather, they were all companions. Alhamdulillah. They were all companions. He reported this story, something that have happened. That he says, my father set aside some money, dinars, for charity and gave them to a man in the mosque. So he put some money with this man and says, listen man, here is this money. And if you know somebody that deserves it, give it to him. Alright? Ma'an's father went to the masjid and left some money with some men. He says, listen man, here is some charity. And if you see somebody that needs it, help him out. But Ma'an says, I went to that man and took back those dinars. I took it from him. I got some money from him. He said, but his father said to him, I had not intended you to be given. He says, listen man, when I give that money to that man, I want him to give it, as Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, he's going to explain, I want him to give it to other people, not you. You're my son. But his son, he took him to the Prophet and put forth the matter before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said, so the man said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I got some money, but my father now he says, no, that wasn't meant for you. He wanted to know if he's entitled for it or not. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, he said to his father, Yazid, you have been rewarded for what you intended. And he said to me, Ma'an, you are entitled to what you have taken. Okay? It's going to become clear when we read to you the explanation of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, this hadith that the author, Imam al-Nawawi, has mentioned, and which contained this story of Ma'an ibn Yazid, Ma'an ibn Yazid and his father, radiallahu anhuma, أن أباه يزيد أخرج دراهم عند رجل في المسجد ليتصدق بها على الفقراء. That Ma'an's father, which is named Yazid, he put some money with this man at the mosque and told him to spend it on the poor. To spend it on the poor. فجاء ابنه معن فأخذها. But his son معن came and took those money. The Shaykh now he says, perhaps that this man was in charge to give that money to the poor. He didn't know that Ma'an is Yazid's son and gave it to him. Maybe he didn't know that his son. Also he said perhaps it could be understood also that perhaps he gave it to him because maybe he thought that Yazid, that man is entitled for sadaqah. Anyway, when Yazid knew about this, he said to his son, I didn't intend you when I give that money to that man. No, I didn't intend you. I mean, I didn't intend that my sadaqah, that money be for you. But the son, he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he settled the matter for them. He said to the father, you will be rewarded according to your intention. Alhamdulillah, you have an intention for sadaqah, you'll be rewarded for that. And as for you, Ma'an, you can keep what you got, what you have taken from the man, you can keep it. He said, the statement now of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said to the father, Yazid, for you what you have intended, he said this is an indication that actions are looked upon the intentions. And that if a person intend to do good, he will be rewarded for good. Even though if he doesn't intend that certain person will get that, like here in this case, Yazid, he didn't have no intention that his son will get that money. No, he has another intention. He has intention that some poor people will get the money. But look, alhamdulillah, those money was given to his son. And his son, he deserved it. So he was entitled for that. For this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَكَ يَا مَعْنُ مَا أَخَتْ O ma'an, yes, you can keep. O ma'an, you can keep what you have taken. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, says, فَفِي هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ دَلِيلٌ كَمَا سَاقَهُ الْمُؤَلِّفِ مِنْ أَجْلِهِ عَلَى أَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ بِالنِّيَاتِ Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, says, in this hadith is a proof, as the author, Al-Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned, because for this reason, he brought it in this chapter, that actions are judged according to intentions, and that a person will be rewarded and written for him or for her the reward according to their intentions. Even, he says, even if that which they intend doesn't go through the whole way. Actually, the opposite of that what they intend may happen. He said, this is a principle that have many branches, and the Shaykh is going to mention something. From those branches, that which the ulama, rahimahumullah, they mention, that if a person gave his zakat, if a person have wealth and have zakat, okay, and gave his zakat to a man, thinking that that person is from the people entitled to receive the zakat, but however, it turns out after he gave the money to that person, it turns out that person is rich. All right? This man, he has zakat money, and the zakat is supposed to be given to well-known people, 8 categories, mentioned in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 60. This man, he gave this money to this person thinking he is poor or needy. But it turns out that this person is rich. And therefore, he's not entitled to receive the zakat. He's not a recipient. Yes, his zakat is okay, alhamdulillah. That person, he has done, and his zakat, the action he did is accepted. Because he knew that person was rich. He thought that person was poor. And it is accepted from him. Why? Because his intention was to give it to somebody who's deserved it. He didn't know that this man is rich. Maybe the man is rich, but he doesn't look rich. And he thought he was poor, and he gave it to him. So he's rewarded according to his intention. Another example, a person has 2 houses next to each other, small house and a big house. And he wants to give one house as a charity, maybe for a masjid, for example. He says, listen, I'm giving this house of mine to the masjid. Any rent will go to the masjid, that's it. The Shaykh says, this man, he says, he wants to give the small house. Alright, that's his intention. But then when he was with the people in charge of the masjid, he said, I'm giving you this house for the masjid, and he points out to the bigger house. So what's going to happen now? And then he's like, oh, no, actually, I meant the small one. Can they say to him, listen, whatever you meant, hey, listen, man, you point out to the big one, that's it. No. Doesn't work like that. He goes with his intention, even though he points out to the big one, but his intention is for what? For the small one. So even though he points out, the action was pointing towards the bigger house, but look, it goes with the intention, what he intended. He intended what? The smaller house, actually. So the Sheikh, he says, the reward is according to the intention, not according to the mistake. Because he made a mistake with his... Because he says, I'm giving you this big house. He made a mistake by his tongue. Okay, he made a mistake. But what's in his heart actually is the small house. Another example. He said, there is an ignorant person. He don't know the difference between Hajj and Umrah. Don't know the difference. He's going maybe his first time or second or tenth time, whatever. All right? And he's performing Hajj with the people. And then at the Miqat, he says, Labbaika Hajj. But he wants to make Umrah because he's making tamattu. Okay? He knows that he's making tamattu. He's making tamattu. And at the Miqat, he just heard somebody say, Labbaika Hajj. He's like, okay, alhamdulillah, Labbaika Hajj. But he will be rewarded according to his intention. The intention that he has before, because he's making tamattu, and he knows that tamattu, you're going to make Umrah first, and then make Hajj. Even though at that moment he says, Labbaika Hajj, he still be rewarded for the Umrah. Huh? Okay. Alhamdulillah, the Sheikh said this before, you made Hajj. So don't feel bad. So the Sheikh said, this person, he will have that which he intended. Even though he make that statement, but that which he make with his statement does not harm him or her, because things are done according to intentions. Here's another example. The Sheikh says, if a man said to his wife, Anti Taliq. Taliq, usually you are divorced. But Taliq in Arabic linguistically meaning you're free. And that's what he means, like you're free from this marriage, okay? He says, but he meant anti taliq min qaid, you're free from some, you know, what do you call it, qaid? Like, I don't know, like when you tie somebody and you free them from that. Maybe that's what he meant. So his intention is according to that. Let's say a woman, she's trapped somewhere, and then the husband says, Anti Taliq. She understands Arabic. She's like, I'm divorced. He's like, no. Says who? You said Anti Taliq. He said, no, I didn't mean that. I mean that you're free from that. Okay? So that's the things are judged according to intentions. And this way, his wife is not divorced. But that's why people that they have to be to pay attention to this. The ulama, when somebody go and tell them, listen, somebody divorced his wife, and then later on he's like, no, I didn't mean it. And then they're like, listen, you got to be careful, man. What did you intend at that moment? If you intend, yes, divorce, yeah, that's divorce. But if somebody changed the scripts, subhanAllah, Allah knows the intention. A human being may not know, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Since we're talking about divorce, I was reading that Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahu wa ta'ala, he used to deal with this divorce a lot. People used to come to him all time with their divorces, especially the people who are in trouble. Especially those people who they come to him in the third divorce. Man divorced his wife the third time, meaning what? That's it. It's not permissible for him to be with her until she marry another man, or something bad happened, no hiring or something, or stuff, you know, something bad happened, and it's a whole thing. But people, they don't want to do that. They don't want to divorce, and he'll be crying, ah, Sheikh. Then they come to Sheikh Ibn Baz. Because a lot of mashayikh, they're like, I don't know, man. Third time, I say, go to Sheikh Ibn Baz. And the Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahu ta'ala, he will listen to them and listen to her, listen to everybody involved. And sometimes he used to not accept it. not counted, and sometimes he used to count them. He used to ask the people, you know. Like, for example, from the things that one of his students he mentioned in his book, this is the biography of the Sheikh Ibn Baz, by the way, a book. And he mentioned that sometimes the Sheikh, he will ask the person, why you divorce his wife? He says, like this guy, he says, I have friends coming over, and she prepared the coffee, but she didn't bring the dates. So me, I'm with my friends right there, I feel bad, and I divorce her. The Sheikh, he says, okay, well, that's a divorce then. Oh, no. He says, man, we don't divorce. You don't get mad for over dates. Because now they want to say, man, I get very mad and upset. He says, what? Who? You get mad over because your wife, she forget to put dates right there? Something is wrong with you then. And he will count it for them. Sometimes also somebody say to him, he divorced his wife. Why? Well, because he waited in the car for 1 minute. The Sheikh says, this is not something that makes you angry, you waiting for 1 minute. No. Come on. Okay, just share with you that. The Sheikh says, this hadith has many benefits. And it is used in so many branches in fiqh. So many branches in fiqh. And from the benefits of this hadith, the Sheikh mentioned, it is permissible for a person to give sadaqah to his son. No, it's permissible to give charity to one's son. You have money, you give charity to your son, it's okay. Not always looking for somebody, foreigner from the house. No, if you have a son, needs money, you give him sadaqah, no problem. What is the proof? The proof is the story of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu and his wife. When his wife, this is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, one of the companions, his wife, she wants to give some sadaqah, some charity. And he said to her, زَوْجُكِ وَوَلَدُكِ أَحَقُّ مَنْ تَصَدَّقْتِ عَلَيْهِ. But she was looking to give sadaqah to somebody, but Ibn Mas'ud, her husband, said to her, hey, you want to give sadaqah? Well, your husband and your children, they are more worthy of that than anybody else. They're more deserving of your charity. And this happened when the Prophet ﷺ has incited the people to give sadaqah and mentioned the virtue of the sadaqah. So Zainab, that's her name, the wife of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, she wants to give sadaqah with some of her wealth, righteous women. Sadaqah is not just for men. Certain women, they think just men. No, women too, they give sadaqah, alhamdulillah. So now she wants to give sadaqah to give some from her wealth. Her husband, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anha, and he was faqir, he was poor. He said to her, hey, if you want to give something, give it to us. Me, I'm your husband and your children. We're more deserving. فَقَالَتْ لَا حَتَّى أَسْأَلَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. She said, no, man. You're my husband. They're my children. I can't give it to you until I ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. See, here, look, the women. They don't argue. She said, let me ask the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Likewise, our women. We want them to understand this. When the husband says something, and she may not know it, she may not know the information, she don't just go against him. Now she will say, أخي, what's the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about this? What's the sunnah? Now she cannot say, let's go to the Prophet ﷺ because he's dead, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But she say, Akhi, can you explain to me in the sunnah why I can't do this? Why I can't go there? Why I can't have this? Why I can't wear this? Just like this. This is the attitude we should have. Not like, listen man, you got nothing to tell me who you are and this. Oh, they bring in problems. Look, if your husband said something, this is the example. The female companions, they are the example for you. Your husband says something and you don't, if you know it is true from the sunnah, well, go ahead and do it. Don't act like you don't know. But if you don't know, if you're not sure, yes, you have the right to say to your husband or your father, for example, Hey, I'm not arguing or anything. I just want to know, this is what Allah tells us to do? This what? And if he says, yes, because the Prophet ﷺ said this and this, then you shouldn't say anything. You should have no say. So, against what Allah says and the Messenger says. Anyway, she said to him, listen, I'm not going to do that until I ask the Prophet ﷺ. And look at Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He didn't tell her, oh, you don't trust me? No, he said, okay, go ahead. Ask the Prophet ﷺ. Allahu Akbar. فَقَالَ صَدَقَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ She went to the Prophet ﷺ, said to him, listen, I want to make a gift of charity. My husband says, no, give it to us. We're more worthy. The Prophet ﷺ said to her, صَدَقَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ spoke the truth. زَوْجُكِ وَوَلَدُكِ أَحَقُّ مَنْ تَصَدَّقْتِ بِي عَلَيْهِمْ Yes, your husband and your children, they more deserving of your charity, Allah Akbar, than anybody else. Because that's also, because that brings a lot of good when a man see his wife that he has money. Because some wives have money, man. Yes. Alhamdulillah, they have money. I don't know. Maybe they inherit something. I don't know. Her grandmother died and left her $1 million. And her husband still making $8.50 an hour and struggling. Now she want to give charity to somebody, I don't know where, in Wisconsin? Or Alabama? Now give it to your husband. Help him out. Alhamdulillah. Because he's gonna be happy with you and he's gonna appreciate that you're helping him out. Alhamdulillah. And he may go, you know, deaf and blind if he see you doing something bad or something. He may give you credit. Alright? Barakallahu fikum. Likewise, from the benefits of the hadith, that is permissible for a person to give his son from the zakat. He said, with a condition that by giving him the zakat does not interfere with his obligation. The sheikh gave an example. If a person has zakat money, want to give it to his son, so that his son who's in need, don't ask him, Father, help me out. Father, well, where is it? No. If the father is obliged to spend and to take care of that son, now he want to give him the zakat so he doesn't have to spend on him? No. The sheikh says, because taking care of your children is wajib, is an obligation. You don't give him the zakat and say, you don't know me, alright, don't ask me anything. No, those are your children. He said, but however, if that child, that son or daughter, they go through some hardship, for example, they have an outstanding debt they cannot pay. Yes, he will give them the zakat to pay for that outstanding debt. Or whatever, medical bills or something, but he still give them and take care of them. Because when he give that money, he says, the intention was to assist that child, that son or daughter, in times of need and difficulty and hardship, not to get out of his obligation, okay? And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala correct our intentions, ameen. May Allah protect us and our families. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rectify our affairs. May Allah protect our sisters in Islam. Our mothers, our wives, our daughters, aunts, our stepdaughters, our stepmothers, anything. All the women. May Allah protect them, ameen. May Allah rectify their hearts and their situations. May Allah make them righteous, ameen. And allow them to see the truth and act upon it. And allow them to see the evil and stay away from it. Subhanakallah wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.